My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Washington, D.C. gets a makeover as it prepares for the inauguration.
You have blockades and unscalable 7-foot fences surrounding, you know, the White House and the Supreme Court and the Capitol building.
We'll look at the precautions and the concerns facing law enforcement. Plus, Janet Yellen hopes to become the nation's next Treasury Secretary with her confirmation hearing beginning today. The value of the U.S. dollar may be part of the conversation. And who says pajamas are just for sleeping? The nighttime attire is now an accepted part of our pandemic wardrobe. It's Tuesday, January 19th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. The Senate Finance Committee is expected to begin a hearing today for the nomination of Janet Yellen as Treasury Secretary. If confirmed, the former Federal Reserve Chair will have to confront the economic fallout from the pandemic, including government spending and debt. She's also expected to make it clear the U.S. doesn't seek a weaker dollar to gain a competitive advantage. This, according to Biden transition officials familiar with her hearing preparation. We'll talk more about the value of the greenback a bit later in the podcast. A move by President Trump to lift bans on most travel into the U.S. from Europe, the U.K., and Brazil has been rejected by President-elect Joe Biden. Under a presidential proclamation released by the White House on Monday, the change was supposed to go into effect on January 26th. Biden's incoming press secretary wrote on Twitter that the new administration does not intend to lift the restrictions which were imposed last spring and would work to strengthen public health measures around international travel to further mitigate the spread of COVID-19. The COVID-19 death toll in the U.S. is poised to surpass 400,000, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. And later today, President Trump is expected to issue as many as 100 pardons and commutations in his final full day in office. We're reporting that the developer of the Keystone XL oil pipeline running between the U.S. and Canada is working to make the project greener so it doesn't get axed by the incoming Biden administration. Canada's TC Energy is investing $1.7 billion in solar, wind, and battery power to eliminate all greenhouse gas emissions from the project by 2030. President-elect Biden campaigned on phasing out oil. Aides to Biden have previously said he plans to revoke the permit. His team declined to discuss the report but said his position hasn't changed. Looking ahead to today's earnings calendar, both Bank of America and Goldman Sachs will report their quarterly results. We'll also hear from Netflix. Turning to the markets in Asia, we saw the Nikkei and the Hang Seng close the day up, while the Shanghai Composite saw a decline. U.S. futures are set to open in the green. We're also watching the value of the U.S. dollar. It's up more than 1.5% against a basket of other major currencies since its recent low. But will this be short-lived? And what does this say about the overall economy? Let's bring markets columnist Mike Bird into the conversation. Hello there, Mike.
Good morning, Mark.
Mike, let's start by talking about why we are currently seeing the strength.
So the dollar broadly over the last year, it's been a period of weakness, but there's been a bounce back recently, and that is largely on sort of middle and longer term expectations for the US economy just improving. Interest rates in markets, bond yields on US treasuries have gone up a little bit. That reflects people thinking that the economy is going to be a little bit stronger. The news of stimulus efforts has also improved the view of where the economy might be in a year, where it might be in 2 years. That's generally good for the dollar. The currency tends to strengthen if people believe the economy is going to strengthen further out in time.
Mike, as we've reported, Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen is expected to show her commitment to market-driven exchange rates when she testifies in Senate hearings today. Does this differ from the current stance?
Yeah, it would be a little bit of a change in the current policy. So typically, the US would allow the Fed largely to set exchange rates inactively. So the Fed doesn't intervene in currency markets like some governments do around the world, some central banks do. They do that because they want to weaken their currencies often to boost their position in international trade, to favor their exports against the exports of other countries. The US typically doesn't do that. The Fed sets interest rates and they tend to inform where currencies end up going. Lower interest rates tend to reduce the value of the currency. Now, what you've had with the outgoing administration is a lot of chatter, a lot of open statements about preferring a weaker dollar. There hasn't been as much active action to try and weaken it. No buying and selling of currencies in international markets or anything like that. But I think what Janet Yellen is going to be saying is she's going to be sort of stepping away, moving back from this position to clarify to investors that she is going to allow international interest rates and international markets to guide where currencies go, rather than have her constantly interjecting, talking about the value of the dollar and where she'd rather like it to be.
Mike Bird, many thanks.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Just ahead, heavy security in the nation's capital. We'll talk about the precautions for Inauguration Day after the break.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Despite online chatter about possible gatherings, pro-Trump groups appear to have been dissuaded from protesting on Sunday by the visible security measures in Washington, D.C. But the country is still on edge, and security is tight at state capitals across the country ahead of Wednesday's inauguration. Officials are concerned about domestic threats growing out of President Trump's repeated unproven claims of election fraud. Joining me now for a closer look at what Washington is facing is The Wall Street Journal's Andrew Restuccia. Andrew, thanks for taking time to join us.
Thank you.
Andrew, I'm curious about the atmosphere in Washington. What's the feeling? What's the vibe?
Yeah, I mean, the whole city is almost completely shut down, at least all of downtown D.C. You have thousands and thousands of National Guard troops, you know, law enforcement officials patrolling every corner. You have blockades and unscalable 7-foot fences surrounding, you know, the White House and the Supreme Court and the Capitol building. It's very difficult to get from place to place. Those who do live downtown, we spoke to someone who was just walking his dog yesterday, have to navigate various checkpoints and get their IDs checked. It certainly feels like a lockdown city right now, and it's not the usual hubbub that you would experience in the days before an inauguration with people on the street selling, you know, hats and, you know, Biden flags and things like that. I mean, there's really just not going to be an opportunity for large crowds to gather in the center of the city.
We saw some gatherings at state capitals over the weekend, notably in Michigan and Ohio, and we reported numbers in the dozens. Is there concern about a larger organized gathering on Inauguration Day itself?
Yeah, so intelligence officials have been concerned about that sort of thing for weeks now. There have been reports of varying certainty about armed groups of militias and others gathering in state capitals. I think what you saw over the weekend was sort of less than what was feared, partly because the police presence has been increased so much. But there has been talk, at least in Washington, on Wednesday, on Inauguration Day, of some limited protests on the outskirts of the city, potentially also across the river in Arlington and Alexandria, just outside of Washington. But it really remains to be seen how many people are going to show up, how many people can show up with all of the security. But as of now, it's looking like it's going to be very difficult for any large group, particularly any large armed group of militia members or sort of right-wing groups to really gather anywhere close to where Joe Biden is going to be inaugurated.
Obviously, the intelligence community is at work. We know some chatter was detected before the Capitol Hill riot, which involved huge numbers of people. But what about rogue individuals? Is that the greater concern?
Absolutely. You know, in talking to intelligence officials and other law enforcement, you know, the concern now is not necessarily that we're going to see a mass of thousands of people attack the Capitol building like we did just a couple of weeks ago. It's that individuals with firearms, explosives, or other sort of incendiary devices could just on their own do some damage in Washington. And so what you're seeing in response to that is the actual perimeter, the security perimeter being pushed further and further back. We were walking around Washington yesterday. We couldn't even get within blocks of the Capitol building. You can't get within blocks of the White House. So the idea being that if an individual were to go rogue, that they wouldn't be able to get anywhere close to the president-elect soon to be president and his staff.
And Andrew, as we look ahead, is it possible more restrictions could be implemented? And are these security concerns going to linger well past Wednesday?
So we spoke to some law enforcement officials on the ground yesterday, and the way they described it is a perimeter that is likely to expand in the coming days as law enforcement learns more. So I think it's likely that the road closures will increase and that the barricades that we saw will spread out. And the bigger fear here is really that we're going to, the sort of feeling of Washington is going to change permanently, that it's going to become a city that is permanently, you know, certainly in lockdown. Hopefully that won't be the case for those of us who live here. But what we saw on January 6th at the Capitol is certainly making law enforcement, you know, think differently about the city's security.
The Journal's Andrew Restuccia covers the White House. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
And finally, if you're tired of your lockdown wardrobe consisting solely of sweatpants and a hoodie, there is hope for you. You can still be comfortable and look sharp, but you may need to up your pajama game, even while on a video call. From formal silk to designs from Burberry, Ralph Lauren, and L.L. Bean, pajamas are finding new acceptance during the pandemic. According to the market research firm, the NPD Group, pajama sales were up 5% nationwide as of November 2020 year to date. Once holiday sales are factored in, that number could rise even further. One fashion director suggests styling your pajamas, such as with a cashmere sweater for video conferences or a tailored blazer for dinner at home. And that's what's news for Tuesday. We're back tonight with a new show. For the latest on bank earnings and Janet Yellen's nomination hearing, just log on to WSJ.com or the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.